The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
All right, back with you for the 5 o'clock hour. Wolfgang rejoins after his 10-minute meeting turned into nearly an hour meeting. Thanks for coming back, though, buddy.
No problem, man. I would not have come back for anybody but you.
That's very kind
or
of
Ken
you to
Miller.
Say. Ah, that's what I
or
figured.
Jimmy B.
Oh, okay.
Or anybody. Marty Terrell.
Now you go and you finish it off with that. Are you putting me in the same vein as that? Come on. Come on, Wolfgang.
It's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you. We got a lot to get into. So I've let my thoughts be known throughout the day today on what we saw with Iowa last night. The 69-68 victory over Iowa looked like Iowa of last year during the first half. Defensively, they buttoned down in the second half. Get it done. Nicholas Bear hit some big shots. But I'm going to leave it open-ended. Just your thoughts last night, Iowa Pitt.
Yeah, watching that game, first half, I'm watching it with somebody that essentially said, wait, this is a home game for Iowa? Why is it so quiet when they score? Or something like that. And we talked about a little bit about that yesterday at G-Migs, and we were kind of discussing the over-under on seats and butts in the stands versus paid people that were actually there. I did not like at all the body language of anybody on the Iowa team or in the actual arena when they were playing yesterday. I did not like it at all. Nobody was into it. It really peed me off, Trent, because they have no excuse anymore. They have no excuse, and I'm sitting here listening to the media, and I would ask the same question. So if you are a media person listening right now and you think I'm bashing you, I'm not. I'd ask the same question. Essentially, the question was after Iowa beat Oregon and Iowa beat UConn was, well, how do you keep from getting a big head? Trent, from what? Is this what we're worried about now, that that Iowa is going to get a big head from beating Oregon and unranked UConn? Is that where we are now? We think we're that mentally fragile? Because that's sad, and I'd ask the same damn question. What we saw in that first half was pathetic. There wasn't energy there. There wasn't energy on defense. And then you watch the second half, Trent, and then there they are. There's the intensity. There's the passion. You see him hitting. I think I heard you say it's not that fake stuff where you're hitting the floor. Mm-hmm. It's action and get blown by. It's hitting the floor, showing that you're into the game. You see guys screaming and flexing. There is nobody. I mean, you don't have to know anything about sports, Trent. And you could watch that first half and second half with the volume down, volume off, never having seen a basketball game before. And I would say, tell me a little bit about who cares. The guys in the first half or the guys in the second half? You know what I'm saying, Trent?
Right. Yeah.
That cannot happen. Iowa does not have the talent to overwhelm people and just show up and beat them. Do I know how good Pittsburgh is? I don't. But as I believe I told you a couple weeks ago, every once in a while I'll take an opinion of somebody that I trust, and they were pointing out the fact that Pittsburgh might be kind of good. I have no idea how good they are. I don't know how good Iowa is. Is Oregon any good anymore, Trent? I don't know. Is UConn? Doesn't mean I'm not happy with what I saw in the second half, because I am. We still didn't shoot well in the second half,
nope.
I don't think, Trent. But I'm talking about the intensity, and speak to that. I'm talking about the fire, because that's what we have to see every time now, Trent, because we have that number in front of our – Iowa has that number. Number, what are we, 15?
14.
14. They have the 14 in front of them now. They have the target. They're not just coming in here playing Iowa, whoop-de-doo, it's a Big Ten team. Who cares?
Right.
They got a number, and they cared. You could tell Pittsburgh cared, Trent.
They came out right away. Xavier Johnson was excellent. The other guard, McCauley, I thought he was really good. They took it to Iowa during the first half. They were shooting an unmanageable pace. I mean, they were hitting threes with hands in their face, too, and that makes it difficult. But one thing I said earlier, Capel had that team ready to play. And they were going into a Big Ten building against a ranked team, and that helps. But they're ready to go. I mean, continually getting the ball against the weird 2-3 hybrid thing that Iowa runs, getting into the high post, getting to the wings. Iowa changed defenses, and they had different things that they could do. I was really impressed by Pitt. That's a much better team than I was anticipating seeing. But that doesn't relieve the fact that you said you got to come out and you got to be ready to go from the get-go. Now, the good thing is they came out in the second half. They did it because last year, you know what had happened, Wolfgang. That team, down 6 at the half, would have got down 12 within the first 5 minutes of the second half.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And it would have been over.
Yeah.
It would have been over. But this team came out right away. they actually listened to what McCaffrey said, listened to the adjustments, and then took them to the second half. Another step of maturation for this team. We and talked about last 2 years they've been really young. All right, here's another step. And now this is a step that these guys haven't been ranked. These guys have not been ranked before as a group. Now you have that one, and this is a learning process. Look, you're going to get everybody's best shot now. Even a team that you're better than in Pitt, you're going to get their best shot. Even at home, you're going to get team's best shot. You have to be ready. You have to be ready in the first half and play a full 40 minutes. Hopefully that's what this is from an Iowa perspective. Now there's another perspective out there, and that's what happened during the broadcast by Gary Dolphin. Does it bother you? Do you understand where some of the angst could come from? Where do you sit for people that missed it? And you must be.
I think I've got the quote here, sir.
Oh, you got
unless
the quote.
You've got. Do you have it in front of you?
Go ahead.
Gary Dolphin says, "How do we not get anybody like that? It's just year after year after year. Go get a quality piece like that. Just get one. They've got three or four. Coach Capel's first year." Now, that's the first part of what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any problem with what he just said there if he'd have said it on live on the mic? What piece was he talking about that this team has not had since Fran is there?
Well,
it's a quick little booger guard to get by you.
They've had them. They just haven't been very good. They had one in Dickerson.
Yeah, we didn't use him, right? Yeah, but... I mean, I don't know how anybody could argue. I'm trying to think of a way.
But remember, he's not you and me talking on sports radio. Okay. He is a mouthpiece for the university. Though he's not employed by the university, he is approved by the university through Learfield Sports. He has to be approved. And because of that, you have to speak differently. If he would have just said that on an open mic,
Let's stick with that.
There would have been blowback. There would have been blowback because for all intents and purposes, he is calling out Fran McCaffrey's recruiting prowess then, right? And he can't do that as a media mouthpiece. You can't.
I'm just stunned at how pissed some of my friends and my fellow Hawkeye fans are.
They are, really.
You're not seeing that on Twitter?
No, well.
And some guys that I respect on, not even, like, I'll even say not friends on Twitter, but guys that I'm friendly with on Twitter that I respect their opinions that I know aren't hotheads and go crazy over the stuff like this.
I must have missed, yeah.
Okay. But I don't find anything problem. So say it a different way. Obviously, he knew he wasn't on. But if Gary Dolphin says, you know what? How do they get a couple quick guards like that? Why can't Iowa get one quick guard? I like our team right now. I like where we are. But, man, a little bit of quickness that puts the fear of God into you, get by that first defender, break down the defense, man, that's something Fran hasn't had.
And in that fashion, he said similar things in the past, and he talked about it last year. Now, they have a different type of point guard in Connor McCaffrey, and Connor was really good defensively last night and ran the team well again. He's not the lightning quick guy, but... it doesn't have to just be that. You know, that's the thing I think some people miss. That's the only way that Iowa's going to be good is to have that lightning quick point guard. Now, you can get by with different types of point guards. I mean, not every year have we seen Wisconsin during their 20-year run of NCAA tournaments, Final Fours. Not every year do they have a lightning quick one. It's a much ado about nothing overall. I think this is something that is being blown out of proportion by a certain fragment of the fan base.
Or is it being blown out by our AD, Trent? Do you like the way he handled that? Would you have just let it go? Or did you like that he got out in front of it and go, I will be assessing this? I squirmed and went.
That seemed like a little much. It seemed heavy-handed. I agree. But here's the thing. We don't know when the news got to Fran McCaffrey, how it was handled. I mean, he very well could have heard, hey, you know, Dolph was calling out Macy Daly. And if you just hear that, you what? Because if you noticed, he didn't do his press conference afterwards. His one-on-one conversation, it very well could have been an SID. Could have been Steve Rowe that just said, you know what, that's kind of lingering out there. They cut to the press conference with the other media members, but he didn't have his one-on-one with Dolph after the game. Fran McCaffrey has his guys back.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He has his guys back. And with that, there is certainly a segment that you can understand some frustration. So it's just...
I don't think this is over. This is going to last. I mean, we'll be talking about this tomorrow because I don't believe we talked about this enough.
Well,
I mean, you might have, but I'm interested to talk about it more because I think this is going to linger for a few days, and they've got to come together and talk. Some of those players may not be liking what Gary Dolphin said. They got to come together, Trent, for real.
We're going to get a break here. We got Andrew Garda waiting. We're going to talk some NFL with him. 10 seconds. Does Gary Dolphin call the Iowa-Wisconsin game Friday night?
Yes, and if he doesn't, it's a joke.
I think you're on to something there, but we will find out more. In fact, probably right at 6 o'clock. We'll get an announcement, something like that. That's usually the way it goes. Andrew Garda talking NFL next.
Hey, Des Moines, this is DA. You're locked into 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic.
We are still running with accident-free conditions out there. No big issues or delays to report on as of now. Things are looking pretty good. Drive safe, Des Moines, and have a great evening.
This report is sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is simple, so you can understand the details and be sure you're getting the right mortgage. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Visit rocketmortgage.com today. Licensed in all 50 states, equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 now and use promo code Des Moines to take advantage of Mike's buy one, get one free deal. Order now by calling 800-951-4694 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Des Moines.
Target is here to help you discover all the ways to get your holidays holla done. Like order pickup. Just order ahead and have it waiting for you at the store. Try Drive Up in the Target app and we'll bring it right out to your car as soon as you arrive. And now, we'll bring the holidays home to you with same-day delivery shopped by Shipt. Whether it's a TV, hot cocoa mix, or ornaments for the tree, Target makes it easy to get what you need when you need it. Target run and done. Learn more at target.com/ways to shop. Restrictions may apply.
Build your business. At Signorama of Urbandale, we offer customized solutions for signs, branding, marketing, and advertising. We have a full range of custom sign and graphic services to meet your needs, build your brand, and create your image. Look around and you'll see how Andy Woodley and his staff help businesses enhance visibility and get noticed. Let us work with you to understand your unique marketing goals and help you reach them. Signorama of Urbandale, the way to grow your business. 3368 100th Street in Urbandale and online at signorama.com/IA-Urbandale.
Are you interested in starting a new franchise? You can find a lawyer right here in the state of Iowa to help with your franchise law needs. Rush Niggin with Brick Gentry Law PC provides law services for those involved in starting a new franchise. Find more information online at rushonbusiness.com, where Rush Niggin can assist you in buying or starting a new franchise. A presenting sponsor of the 2018 high school football season on 1700 KBGG. Brick Gentry Law PC and Rush Niggin.
You're invited to experience great customer service and incredible deals at Billion Buick GMC in Clive. Our reviews say it all.
I didn't feel pressured. It was a very smooth process.
Our salesman came in on his day off. Now that's going above and beyond.
People also appreciate the huge inventory, including the incredible all-new 2019 GMC Sierra. You're invited to Billion Buick GMC in Clive or BillionAuto.com/GMC. We are professional grade.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here from 1700. You've been hearing me for a couple of months talk about New Leaf Wellness. I'm on a couple of programs helping me lose weight, and it has worked outstanding for me. The two treatment programs that I'm on right now, the GAC and the MIC, helping me with my energy levels, weight loss, increasing muscle tone. It's worked wonderfully for me. New Leaf Wellness has a lot of different programs they can help with guys out there. Low testosterone, maybe you're battling migraines, looking to lose weight, or maybe you just hit a plateau in your workout system. New Leaf Wellness can help you like they've helped me. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. New year right around the corner. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Back with you as we continue on The Drive, 1700 The Champ, Trent and Wolfgang here, taking you up until 6 o'clock this evening. Well, football will get back going tomorrow night. It'll begin with the Saints and the Cowboys. Suddenly, a much more compelling matchup than it looked like it was going to be just a couple of weeks ago as we dive into the next week of the NFL. Joining us from Pro Football Weekly, it's Andrew Garda. As always, Andrew, thank you for your time. What's happening? Did you survive Turkey Day? Good to see you.
I did survive Turkey Day. I'm a little bit heavier. There's more of me, but I survived it. So that's all we can ask for, I think.
Well, and on Turkey Day, we saw three favorites all win. The Bears get it done with the pick six. Cowboys outlasting the Redskins. And then, boy, I just kept waiting. The college game stunk. Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl. That was terrible. Outside of the brawl, the only compelling component of that game. So I just kept hoping, come on, Atlanta, score. And then Matt Ryan to do something stupid. And then they fumble the ball. It just on and on and on again. Are we a believer? The Saints are really good. They seem like maybe the most complete team in the NFL. Does this continue? Because how many times in the past, the team we're talking about in late November is not the same team that we're talking about in February. Do you think the Saints right now are the most complete team?
I mean, they really seem that, which, you know, to your point, about a month and a half ago, I don't know that anybody was actually thinking that, huh? So things can change. As Ferris Bueller would say, life comes at you fast. So this could all change. I don't know that I can trust anything, but the Saints are playing pretty good defense, and, you know, their offense is their offense. Drew Brees and company have been doing this forever. Sometimes the other pieces change, but it's the same guys, you know, at the helm of it, Sean Payton, Drew Brees. So it feels very much like they are the class. You know, the Rams are in the conversation. The Chiefs, when their defense is on, they're in the conversation. But right now it does feel like the fighting Drew Breeses, as I like to call them, are kind of top class there.
Yeah, Andrew, I watched the Steelers on Sunday versus Denver. Had some action on that. I was feeling good at times, and then all of a sudden they just decided to spit up the ball. What's your overall take on the Steelers? Do they have what it takes to actually get it done to win a Super Bowl?
I feel like on paper they do. You know, on paper you look at the weapons they have on offense, and including James Conner, who, you know, aside from not being great on Sunday, has overall been very consistent and good. And they've been playing pretty decent defense, but it feels like every time, you know, you ever meet those people who, you know, they just every time something goes their way, they find a way to mess it up. Like, they get in their own way. They're the guys who are going to, or girls who are always going to find a way to ruin a good thing. They, you know, snatch defeat from the jaws of victory sort of thing. And that's what the Steelers feel like right now. It feels like that division has, to some extent, separated. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals are busy imploding. The Browns still, you know, seem like they're not going to quite be ready to compete. And the Ravens, I mean, Lamar Jackson kind of changes the chemistry of the division a little bit. But, you know, the Ravens haven't been consistent enough to really threaten. So it feels like the Steelers should be able to not only secure that divisional title, but, you know, maybe push themselves forward to be one of the first week buys. But then you watch a game like this, and I can't figure out Denver. I mean, I'll be honest about that. They are a team that seems to, you know, lose when they should win and win when they should lose. And I personally, you know, can't imagine Vance Joseph is going to be the coach there next year, considering a lot of what I was hearing coming out around the team early this year. But, I mean, that's a game that Pittsburgh, even in Mile High, should have won. And we watched them cough the ball up several times. Ben Roethlisberger's inexplicable pass near the end of the game. And on top of it, his inability to take responsibility for it. I mean, this Steelers team, I feel like I should feel much more confident about it, but they just seem to get in their own way. And, you know, meanwhile, you have the Patriots, or they've gotten going as they always do every season. You've got a very good Kansas City Chiefs team. The L.A. Chargers are playing relatively well. I mean, it feels like the field in the AFC is tight enough to where Pittsburgh's penchant for blowing themselves up is going to cost them, you know, possibly a first-round bye and probably, or, you know, very, very likely, depending on the matchup, a shot at advancing in the playoffs. They just feel like a team that just can't figure out a way to get it done.
Andrew, speaking of the AFC, you mentioned the Kansas City. The Chiefs right now would be the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. This team coming off a bye from what we saw last week, they get Eric Berry back to practice. And it's still, I think, probably too early to see exactly what kind of impact he can make. And, of course, everything that he's went through, injuries, illness, and everything in between that he's gone through in his career. But when you look at this team, if they have the number one seed, are you willing to call them the favorite, or because of the Patriots, regardless of where they finish, second, third, fourth, I don't think it matters, would you still put the Patriots as that team?
No, if they get the one seed, I actually could feel them being the favorite. And the reality is, if you can get New England away from Foxborough, I actually think you're in pretty good place, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, Foxborough seems to be a snake bit place for just about every team under the sun. And so if you can remove the Patriots from that home field advantage, if you can find a way to be the number one seed and they aren't, I think you have a really good shot at unseeding them. And, you know, you never want to count the Patriots and Bill Belichick out, but by the same token, they look as vulnerable as they have over the last couple of seasons. I mean, they look like a team that can be beat, a team that's getting a little bit older. And I don't know. I think you have the weapons to beat them if you have the one seed.
Yeah, Andrew, interested about the Pats. How are you thinking this is going to end? I mean, is this going to end with Tom Brady just crashing here within a year or 2 years or retirement? Or does Belichick decide to go bye-bye? Get out your crystal ball if you can, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, it feels like Robert Kraft kind of put his money behind Brady and not Belichick with the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. You know, if we all believe what we've heard, you know, a couple things happened in quick succession. Brady was told by Belichick he wasn't allowed to have his, you know, his physical therapy guy in there, his strength and conditioning guy, and that caused some friction. And then, you know, Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo around because he can see the end of Tom Brady coming, but by the same token, you know, they're not ready to let go of Brady, and it felt like Kraft backed Brady. So I kind of feel like I don't know that Tom Brady's going to implode for the next couple of years, but he's going to continue to kind of downward trend. And that makes Belichick's job harder to do. And so I kind of feel like there's a good chance that at some point Bill Belichick's going to pull the ripcord on this, especially since they kept Josh McDaniels around in part to take over for Bill Belichick. So at some point, I think the pieces are all there, and I think Belichick's gonna duck out before things implode. And I wouldn't be shocked if there's a little bit of ego in him where he's like, you know what, stuff's gonna fall apart when I leave, and then I can point back and go, see, I was the genius here. And I don't know that that's a conscious thing, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was somewhere in, you know, the back part of Belichick's brain.
Jump over to the NFC, and specifically the NFC North, the Bears in control of the division at this point. Let's start, though, with the third team, the Green Bay Packers, after taking the loss to the Vikings over the weekend on Sunday Night Football. Are you ready to put a fork in this team? Is it over, or does Aaron Rodgers and company have one more run here at the end of the regular season?
It sure as heck feels like they're done. It really does. You know, it's in some ways similar to the divide between Brady and Belichick. Like, something has shifted. Like, I think McCarthy and Rodgers have always had a somewhat cantankerous relationship, and that's fine because they got the job done 9 times out of 10. But this year it feels a little bit different. And, you know, something's not clicking on defense. The offense is a little bit stayed, and it could be that McCarthy's message is just getting old and tired. And I mean, that happens. So it could be that they need to change. But I never count Aaron Rodgers out. But what we're seeing from him this year isn't his best Aaron Rodgers performance. And I think if that's the case, you have a Bears team that is much better than we expected them to be, much sooner than we expected them to be, and you have a Vikings team that's you know, a little punch drunk, but they can still get the job done. And you look at the rest of the NFC, it's going to be really hard for me to make a case for the Packers making the playoffs. And then I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, certainly everything I'm hearing from Packer fans that I know is to blow the whole thing up, but you may start hearing that from within Lambeau as well. So it'll be interesting to see. But, I think the Packers are done. I think they may make things interesting, but I just don't think they have it this year. There's too much disconnect in the offense alone, and the defense isn't quite there consistently.
Yeah, Andrew, the NFC East, I'm sitting here looking at, you know, Dallas, Washington, Philly. I'm not willing to give up
once again,
on
Philly. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah, it's kind of making my eyes sting a little bit by looking at it right now, Andrew. But I'm not ready to give up on Philly, not because I'm a fan at all, just because I don't want to be as wrong as I think I might have at the beginning of the year with as much talent as they had coming back, not even making the playoffs. What's your take on the NFC East there with those three teams?
Well, I mean, you know, similar to the Packers, I don't quite want to count Washington out. But, you know, they were already kind of having some issues with Alex Smith, and now you lost him. And I just, the quarterbacks they have sitting there, I don't think those are guys who are going to be able to drag them to the end of this race. The Eagles are clearly not the team they were last year. You know, both mentally, where they were playing with a chip on their shoulder last season and don't seem to be this year, and losing guys like Frank Reich, I think, have really hurt the offense in general. Being that the case, I still think the Eagles are a solid team. I still think they have the talent. I feel like the biggest question mark isn't whether Washington can hold on, because I think the answer is no. Isn't whether the Giants are delusional enough to think that they can actually do something in this division still, because fans around here in New Jersey seem to think that's the case. But there also seem to be a rise in liquor sales. I don't know if there's a correlation. It's going to be, can Dallas be consistent? You know, can they do what they need to win? Because, you know, Dallas, when they run Ezekiel Elliott, they're really effective. When they shut him down in the second half, all of a sudden the Cowboys lose. So I feel like the Eagles have enough talent to win this division, especially given that most of the other teams in that division are crumbling as we watch. It's going to come down to whether Dallas can find a way to, you know, much like another team we were talking about in the Pittsburgh Steelers, get out of their own way. And if they could do that, then that's going to be a tight race at the end. But I still feel like the Eagles, and like you, I'm not an Eagles fan, but I still feel like they have enough talent to edge their way into the playoffs. But it'll be interesting to see, because if Jason Garrett and company would just run Ezekiel Elliott a little bit more, it helps Dak Prescott. Amari Cooper has been a great addition, I think. So they've got some weapons there, but they just haven't been consistent enough for me to totally buy in.
Final thing for me, Andrew, as we let you go, the Bears, my team, sit in first place. Mitchell Trubisky didn't practice. He is considered day-to-day. Now, going into the Thanksgiving game against Detroit, if it was Sunday, he'd be fine. Well, we're into next week. We're past Sunday, and he's still not fine. Are the Bears really playing with fire here? I don't know how many times watching the NFL for the last 30-plus years I've seen this. You know what? We can get by this game playing our backup. And then they lose the game. They're going to lose to the Giants if they don't play Trubisky. That's where I'm going right now. Is that what's going to happen here?
See, at first I thought you had a little bit of pep in your step because your Bears are doing well, but now I hear the panic that sets in that I am familiar with because I grew up a Jets fan, and I know what that's like. When things are going well, that's when you expect it to all crash.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. The Bears' defense is so good that they may be able to ride a backup for a week or two. I think long-term, like in another week or two, you want to have Trubisky back. You want to have him under center. And especially, you know, as we've talked about before, let him continue to add to the playbook, open the playbook more for him. Because once you get in the playoffs, you're going to need that whole playbook to be able to advance. I don't think it's necessarily a big deal this week. I think because they were facing a team that has an awful lot of issues, And, you know, is terribly inconsistent. That seems to be my byword for this phone call today. You know, they've got the better talent, the Bears, on both sides of the ball, in terms of ability to execute right now. And I feel like their defense should be able to carry the day. And even with a backup quarterback, the offense should be able to do enough to stay ahead. But I understand your concern. I just don't know that Trubisky's the game changer yet in the same way that like a Pat Mahomes or even when he's at his best, Carson Wentz is. So I don't feel like it's going to make that huge difference, but they want to get him back under center sooner than later. But I got to figure that Nagy and people are looking at this and saying, let's play the long game. There's a fairly good chance we're going to make the playoffs. We need to have Trubisky in the playoffs. So if we've got to maybe sacrifice a game or two, let's do that, but let's make sure that he's 100% healthy because, you know, we may be able to steal a game with a backup in, but we are not going to be able to replicate what the Eagles did last year and have a backup take us to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's Andrew Garda. Andrew, I guess I'd be remiss. You're a USC grad. You're excited for another year of Clay Helton, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm totally not buying a ticket and sharpening a pitchfork and heading over to the Coliseum anytime soon. That's totally not me. If you see someone who looks like me for that, that is absolutely 100% not me. I'm going to go sob somewhere now. Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem. We always got to end on a high note. Thank you. Well, I was going down a bad path with the Bears. I got to send you down a bad path with your Trojans.
It's not hard. It's not hard to do.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks as always, Andrew. Great catching up with you.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Andrew Garda joining us, Pro Football Weekly, as we take a look around the NFL. Coming up next, we will take a look around what's happening in the world of sports tonight. Break down the ACC Big Ten Challenge as Wolfgang and myself continue taking you up until 6 o'clock. It's The Drive on 1700 The Champ. Back with you one final time. It's The Drive on 1700 The Champ. Trent and Wolfgang with you taking you up until 6 o'clock. Well, tomorrow we'll be back in the football vein. We will have Thursday Night Football. Pretty compelling one, by the way, with New Orleans and the Dallas Cowboys. The resurgent Dallas Cowboys. You're not a Cowboys fan, are you? You still don't have an NFL team, is that right?
I find the Cowboys funny because I'm not sure why they are so popular. You look into that rating stuff, which obviously you should be, as you say, playing the hits, as you say.
Yes.
Whether it's music, whether it's politics on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, or if you're doing sports radio, you want to play the hits. We want to play the hits because it's mostly local. We stick with mostly that because that's where it's at. Iowa State, people want to hear about that, not all sorts of cooking recipes and all sorts of stuff like that. I don't really get why the Cowboys, other than the fact they're quote-unquote America's team, which I think is a made-up thing, is it not, Trent? Somebody that made that up.
Right.
I don't think it's a true thing. But it might be now because every program talks about the Cowboys and how they're important and they get so passionate about it. Texas is a big state. That's their, you know, that's their, obviously their NFL team. But they don't really, and I do like Dak. I like Cooper coming over. I think he's added something. Trent, why would he not? They had no receiver. So that's interesting to me. So there are more plot lines now, Trent, I think, with the Cowboys. What do you think?
It's difficult for me because, yeah, the whole America's team, I get it. You look at people a little older than us. I'm in my 30s. You're in your 40s. You're an old man compared to me. I know you love when I bring that up.
I appreciate that.
But people a little bit older than us, the next generation up, that grew up largely in the 70s. You were born in the 70s. I was born in the 80s, of course.
Good gosh.
You're really liking this. I can tell. You're really liking
right.
This.
Jeez. Whippersnapper.
But you know, people in their late 40s, early 50s, 60s that grew up when the Cowboys were a big thing in the 70s. You get it. People jump on the bandwagon. Yeah. I mean, me personally, I should be a Vikings fan. I really should. My family was Vikings fans. I grew up right next to the border. Everybody around me was Vikings fans. But as a 5-year-old, I love Walter Payton. I love the fridge. I mean,
oh,
the
baby.
Super Bowl shuffle.
You're talking about my team back in the day.
Yes.
I've always been a bandwagoner, man. Always been.
Did I ever tell you the story of how it came to fruition, how I officially became a Bears fan? So I'm sitting watching a Bears-Vikings game during 1985, during that season.
Okay.
And Watching the game with my grandpa. My grandpa Condon. Grandpa Jack.
Yeah.
Grandpa Jack, huge Vikings fan.
He's not the one that watches the Westerns, right?
No, that's my that's my wife's grandpa. Okay, that's Grandpa Bill, yeah. Right. And Grandpa Jack loved the Vikings, loved the Twins, Minnesota all the way through and through, and was watching the game, and this story was relayed to me by my mom. And we're watching, and I'm probably playing and screwing around and, you know, watching a play and then go do something else. But I kept looking, and every time the Bears are scoring a touchdown, they're throttling them. They're throttling the Vikings. And Grandpa's getting mad, and I'm not going to cheer for this crap team, right? So I told my mom afterwards, after Grandpa's probably yelling, and, well, there weren't even remotes back then. It was, hey, kid, go turn the channel. That was the remote they had back then. But I know he was swearing, because Grandpa liked to swear. He was a trucker. Really? And he let the language fly. I said, you know what? I want to be a Bears fan. And so my mom, right afterwards, went out. We went to Kmart in Charles City.
Wow.
That's where you did your shopping back in 1985. And got myself a Bears sweatshirt. And the rest is history. That's how I jumped on the bandwagon. So I get it with the Cowboys. I get how people jump on the bandwagon. And then people a little bit younger than us during the 90s, during that run, same thing, right? They're really good during that time, of course. It's easy to jump on the bandwagon. But for kids that are now in their teens, you haven't seen any success. I mean, who's a bandwagon Cowboys fan these days? It's been a long, long stretch now of mediocrity at best.
Think about the triplets. I mean, but it's interesting what you're saying now, but I don't know one damn Patriots fan in this state. Do you?
Well, I don't know if he's in the state, but yes, I do know one.
Okay. All right. You know two.
No, I don't know two, though. There's a good point. There's a good point.
It's just interesting that they have not. It's a Midwest thing. So I remember that. Obviously, the Super Bowl shuffle, still probably know close to every single word of that. I don't remember how the Vikings were in 85, 84. Obviously, so the Bears were good in 84, 85, 86. I think they had injuries. That's why they didn't repeat, and then it went downhill
from
that.
Started to fizzle. And they were still pretty good during that time. But the Vikings were also really good. I mean, you think of those defenses in the late 80s, early 90s with Keith Millard and Chris Dolman and Scott Steinwell and Joey Browner. And I can go on and on and on. In fact, I probably know those rosters better, again, because of proximity. Every time I'd open up the newspaper, what it would be? Stories about the Vikings, not about the Bears. That all aside, it's a good point you bring up with the Patriots. And I wonder, now when I worked in the school system, I would see Patriots stuff every once in a while. You'd see a Brady jersey, you'd see a hoodie, you'd see that. Not a ton of it. You know, NFL-wise, you know what, a one that always really surprised me, even before they went to the Super Bowl with Seattle. And I think it had to do something with the color scheme. You know, you had the lime green, the neon green. Maybe that was a part of it. And they were at least becoming decent. I was always surprised, though, at the number of quote-unquote Seattle stuff that I'd see around. But yeah, the Patriots never were really big.
But the Seahawks, I will say, I don't know how many people that you remember from high school or around Central Iowa. I know a ton of people that moved to Portland/Seattle. There's a ton of family that still roots for them. It's interesting. The other group, obviously, for the bandwagoners out there is the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you go out and watch them ever on Sundays and you go to a sports bar, there's always a lot of Steeler fans. Why is that, Trent? Because they used to be good, and obviously they're sitting here saying older people. Some of them aren't. Some of them are, geez, am I that old? But they're it's passed down from dad. You know, dad rooted for this team, so I'm going to root with dad. We're going to watch this together. Mom rooted for this team, so I'm going to watch the game with mom. I know it's just sports, but sometimes it isn't, and you're watching some of these Steeler fans. There's a lot of Steeler fans in Central Iowa if you go out to the sports bars. I don't know if that's 100% true. Have you seen that, Trent, or no?
It's different pockets.
Different pockets in Central Iowa, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. I would still love to get a breakdown. I've told you the story from years before when a guy from Shields told us that of the four kind of majors around here, it was very evenly split at the time. The Bears were slightly ahead of the others. But that was on the heels of coming off the Super Bowl. I think this is like maybe 2010, 2011. So that was within 5 years. I still made the playoffs a few times under Lovey. What it would be today.
That's not accurate then. So Bears v. that was Colts, right? Peyton Manning?
Yes, yeah.
So yeah, that's not.
That was like 2006. And then this is about 5 years later. They were still good. They were still relevant. But since then, they've been bad. And I wonder what that number would be.
I would love to know that. We need to get some Shields people on or somebody like that. Yeah. I would love to know. What's the demographic? Do we have Chiefs? I mean, I'm guessing Chiefs
are going through the roof because you're looking at them right now. I want to watch every single one of their games. I want to buy my boy, you know, some Chiefs gear. Bears, I'm just not into for some reason. I like asking you about the Bears, figuring out how good you think they're going to be. The Vikings, I'm into because I think they're good. Even though their quarterback, I think, is the corniest human being that I probably ever heard or met in my life, I still like him. I think he's a good dude. I just think he needs to try less. Green Bay, I could never root for them, man. I could never buy one of those jerseys.
No.
America's team, as I like to call them now, Trent, the Cleveland Browns. They're fun, man. I'm telling you.
Are you getting yourself a Baker Mayfield jersey?
Not, yeah, but H-E double hockey sticks, yeah.
If Tiff is listening, I think you know what you need to get your boy for Christmas right
there.
Yeah,
Christmas gift easy for
dude.
Food, sports,
problem.
That stuff.
Problem. The Browns jerseys are hideous.
Not this year.
They're awful. Come on. Well, the whole uniform ensemble. You got weird
ensemble.
Stripes going
Listen
on.
To this.
You got Browns down the pant leg. I mean, how terrible is that? That's absolutely awful. You don't want any piece
that. Wasn't
of that.
Part of the uniform. They were just literally bleeping themselves.
Very well could be. Certainly in the past.
In overtime, especially.
Oh, man.
But you get the... What I'm saying about the Cowboys is I don't necessarily believe they're America's team. I don't know if that's a made-up thing, but it's fun to think of what teams do you actually like to watch, Trent? Which teams are connecting with the fan base, whether it's Iowa, Nebraska, everywhere? What teams do you want to watch? I find it fun and interesting.
I do like to watch the Packers because of the Iowa connection. I do like to watch that and see how Josh Jackson's doing.
Yeah.
You know,
how did he do, by the way?
All right. You know, there wasn't anything egregious that I saw from him, but there were times he was picked on a little bit too.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
that's
a rookie.
Fair.
And, you know, you got Alexander on the other side, another rookie, but boy, he's a different. Holy crap, is that guy good?
You love him,
oh,
huh? Because he was drafted in the first round,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And then, yeah, Josh was second round.
Yep.
And then, so we'll see what happens. Obviously, you're not going to be elite your first year. You're seeing what Dez King is doing now over at San Diego.
Yes, making plays. Well, what a shock, huh?
Didn't see that coming. He had bad hips, they say, or he didn't like his fingernails, so they didn't think we could draft him before that. Was it fifth round?
What a joke.
Don't ever tell me I don't get to give an opinion here on the radio, Trent, because I didn't coach anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have taken him before the fifth round. Dez King, remember him?
Yeah.
Don't ever tell me that, people.
Makes plays, and he's doing it again at the level. Well, coming up tonight, Wolfgang, as we take a look at a little Tube Talk here. Coming up this evening, the ACC Big Ten Challenge continues. They are deadlocked. We talked a lot earlier, obviously, about the Iowa win 69-68 over Pittsburgh. But the Big Ten, to get it done, they got to win 4 out of these 6 matchups. Same, obviously, for the ACC. You look in terms of point spread, the Big Ten is favored in 1, 2, 3 of the matchups. And an underdog in 3 of the matchups. Can they get 4? Is it realistic? And of the 3 to pull an upset, it'd be Rutgers beating Miami. It would be Virginia at home beating Maryland beating Virginia at home.
Okay, that could happen, yeah.
The other upset would be Purdue winning at Florida State.
I'll take Purdue at Florida State.
That Florida State team, I haven't picked one of their games right. Last year, the run that they had to the Elite Eight. Remember how they quit in the game against Michigan? Down by 4 or 5 or whatever it was in Leonard Hamilton with like 12 seconds left. Like, yeah, now we're fine. We're good.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot that.
Yeah. And I was pissed because I had Florida State in the points.
That was pathetic.
Keep trying.
Oh, my gosh.
I was probably on the wrong side of that.
Until you think.
Maybe that's why it's stuck in my mind.
No, but it's gonna. It'll be fun. I like this ACC Big Ten Challenge. It's fun. I think this is the 20th year. But how about... Actually, if the Big Ten wins, what you'll find out is it didn't matter. If the Big Ten loses, you'll hear all over the place that the Big Ten lost. That's what we're about ready to see. So this is why I'm into this. This is why when I watch Northwestern play football, non-conference, I get, you know what, when they play Duke 47 times and lose every time, or they lose every non-con game, or when I actually root for Michigan State last night and they lose, I'm rooting for them. I know they didn't have one of their best players that's been around for 11 years. But at some point, you need your conference to win these games because it is a talking point with the national media. And we can say that doesn't matter. I truly believe it does because it's not all computers. It's not all analytics. It's some of our brains. It's some of our our voting and stuff, Trent. So it does matter to me if the Big Ten wins this. I don't want to see the ACC pull it out
right now? Are you thinking that maybe it's looking like they're going to pull it out?
I do kind of like Maryland tonight. And I told you, know, I'm a Virginia believer this year. I've
yes,
told you,
you are.
This.
Yes,
I
you are.
Have a future wager on them to make both the Final Four. Excuse me. I'll edit that out. I have a future wager on them both to make the Final Four and win the national championship this year. But there's just something about this game. And admittedly, you know, I've watched a lot of college hoops. I haven't seen much Maryland. In fact, I'm trying to think if I've seen the Terps more than a cursory glance. I'm kind of going through and looking at their schedule. I haven't. Now, maybe there's a reason for it. This is who they played. Delaware, Navy, North okay. Carolina, A&T.
That'd be a no.
Hofstra? Mount St. Mary's?
No.
And Marshall. So, no, I haven't seen a second of them now yeah. as I think about it. I mean, it wasn't even flip on BTN to go. And oh, they,
no.
No, I... There's just something I might have an inkling towards. And if they pull the upset there, then the Big Ten certainly can win this one. And you can't afford Ohio State to lose to Syracuse. You can't afford Northwestern to lose to Georgia Tech. By the way, Northwestern's favored by 8. That seems a little hefty. Northwestern should be favored against 8 against many power conference teams. That one was a little head scratchy. And of course, Michigan needs to win against Carolina tonight.
I can't wait to watch that.
That's
tonight,
the best
Trent.
Game, though.
Oh, I cannot
give me
wait
a take
to watch
on that.
That.
What are we going to see?
We're going to see great basketball is what we're going to see. We're going to see a coach that I think in Beeline that is one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in college basketball, and I like it because I said that before. The thing that I love this comparison now that they're talking about with Harbaugh, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about how Harbaugh, he's got to change a little bit. He's got to change a little bit on offense, got to change a little bit on defense. Does he want to win? Who was that changed a little bit? Guy
Beeline.
In your same yep. athletic department
yep.
that coaches your other big sport in basketball. He went out and, correct me if I'm wrong, got a D coordinator. And now you look at him, you can't score on him, Trent. He was already great at offense. And now you look at him, they're, I think, number one in the least amount of points given up. Now, that doesn't mean anything yet so far. We know that. But I respect that. I respect that out of a coach that gets at stuff like that. And, yeah, I can't wait to watch that game. That's... And we'll start having more opinions as we get to watch this, Trent. That's what's fun, because we're seeing comparable teams, comparable conferences with comparable recruits, instead of just reading up on who's got what back and trying to go in the depth of your brain to figure out which players are still there and which aren't, you know. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll see.
Going to be good. Good night in front of us here. ACC Big Ten Challenge and a whole lot more. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about that. Starting at 11 a.m. as we get things started here on 1700 The Champ tomorrow night. Also, we will bring you that Thursday night football game. We started with the Saints and the Cowboys as we have you covered with every single Westwood One matchup Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night football here on 1700 The Champ. That does it for the program today. Thanks to everybody out there for listening in. Rider Than You with Bill Ryder is up next.